Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tunnell, for today, Sunday, March 24th. Tonight's guest is hairstylist Hadiya Barbell. And before she joins us on the line, we have some beauty news for you. But first, I just want to remind you all that the call-in number tonight is 914-803-4399. Again, that call-in number is 914-803-4399. And I'm going to move over to Denise so she can share with us some beauty news.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. Just wanted to quickly, of course, as we do every week, remind everyone about the FAIN Expo, the Professional Hair and Makeup Expo that's going to be held June 29th and 30th in Pasadena, California at the Pasadena Convention Center. Just reminding everyone about the show, and if you want more information on the show, you can go to fameexpo.com, that's PHAMEXPO.com, and get information on tickets, hotels, classes, and, you know, speakers for the show, things like that. But also just wanted to let you all know that Beauty Talk will be airing live from the show, and we will have more details on exact times and the actual days that that's going to happen. But we just wanted to put that out there tonight. The Beauty Talk will be airing live from the FAIN Expo in Pasadena, California. Also, for those hair and makeup artists and maybe even stylists who have purchased Marietta Carter's Makeup Weekly Planner, if you like the planner and you would recommend it to someone, give us a call here at Beauty Talk and let us know what you like about it. Or you can post on our Facebook page, Beauty Talk online radio page, any comments about what you think about the Makeup Weekly Planner. Or you can post on Marietta's page as well about your comments about how you like her weekly planner. And I think I'm going to start reading the quotes from each month in the beauty news. So we'll just go ahead and start with March, since we didn't do March. And then maybe the first Sunday of April, we'll do the quote for April. So for March, the quote is, "One of the most important aspects of being a great artist is to study color theory in depth in art college. And that quote is from Eugenia Weston, celebrity makeup artist and founder of Senna Cosmetics. And we were supposed to have Carpet City Childs on tonight during the Beauty News segment, giving us some information on her special effects class here in Atlanta. But I guess she didn't get on the line. Hopefully she can come in a little later and give us that information. But if not, I'll be sure to have the information by the end of the show.
All right. We are waiting for Hadia to call in. But in the meantime, we have, if there's any other beauty news you'd like to share, I guess now would be the time. Again, just wanted to reiterate what my sister just said earlier about Fame Expo. Beauty Talk will be live at Fame Expo. Again, we're not sure of the exact day. The trade show is a Saturday and a Sunday. I do believe we're definitely going to be on Saturday, but I'm not sure about Sunday. We will be doing the show live, which means you can hear it live on Blog Talk Radio, but also live at the actual show. So if you're attending Fame Expo, we definitely would like you to be there and be in our audience so that we could just kind of pretty much have the same type of interaction that we normally have, you know, every Sunday night where we have people in the chat room who are commenting about what about the discussion as well as asking questions to the guests. So we would like to kind of have that same type of feedback while we're doing the show live. And also we'll be giving away as much as we can while at Fame Expo. You know, all of the vendors that are participating in the expo, we'd like to be able to give away products from those vendors as well. And if I can remember off the top of my head, there's going to be OCC, Royal and Langnickel Brushes, Lime Crime, Friends Beauty Supply, Mamie's Beauty Supply, Nigel's Beauty Emporium. What was that?
I believe NYC will be there.
NYC Cosmetics?
Yeah, won't they?
Oh, okay. I'm not sure. I have to verify that. What was I saying? Inglot, Yabby. I'm just trying to go off the top of my head.
Bedellian Tools will be there.
Oh, yeah, Bedellian Tools, exactly.
Well, Arts will be there. Empire Makeup Academy, Encore Makeup, Eve Pearl will be there. Eye Candy, Hakuhodo Brushes, Inglot, you did say. The London Brush Company will be there. MAC will be there. Mayron will be there. Model in a Bottle. Morph Brush Company will be there. Mamie's, Norcosco Pro Makeup will be there. Nigel's, Nurturing Force, Perry and Spirit, Set Royal Brush, Ruby Makeup Academy will be there, Sugar Pill, Temp 2, Vanity Mark Cosmetics will be there, Violent Lips will be there, Yabby Cosmetics will be there, Z Palette will be there.
Nice. And that's not the full complete list. There are still more vendors signing on, but we would like to try to give away items from each and every one of those vendors that we just named and whoever's going to sign on after tonight's show as well. So if you're going to be in town for the trade show, please make sure you stop by and participate in our show because we want to give away as much as we possibly can. So, again, that's Beauty Talk at Fame Expo, and the dates for that expo is June 28th and 29th. Is that correct?
No, 29th and 30th.
29th and 30th, okay. 29th and 30th, which is a Saturday and a Sunday. 29th and 30th, and it starts at 10 a.m. on both days. So that's Pasadena, California. And again, we are waiting for our guests to call in, but the call-in number for tonight's discussion is 914-803-4399. Again, that's 914-803-4399, and you can also join us in the chat room as well.
Now, if anyone attended, I know last week we mentioned in the media news about the Miami Fashion Week. If anyone attended Miami Fashion Week and you're listening to the show right now, give us a call and let us know what you thought about it. Let us know what you experienced. Are any of Marietta Carter's students listening in right now who attended her her online class for how to research a period, definitely give us a call and let us know what you thought about the class.
Do we know any makeup artists who participated? I mean, not just people who maybe attended, but was Frances one of the ones who participated in that, or was that the Cotton Show?
I believe that was the Cotton Show.
Okay. Totally different. Okay. Okay. I see J.K. Hunter on the line. Hi, J.K. And hello to all the other callers. I think that is Sharon Tina, I believe. I'm not sure who's on the line as well. Hello to all of those who's on the phone line, and for anyone that's in the chat room, welcome to the show.
I don't know why Blog Talk Radio gives me so many problems with trying to sign in each week.
You have a problem signing in the chat room?
I have a problem signing into Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Okay, so Sharon Tina is letting me know that the chat room is missing today.
I haven't logged on. Have you logged on the chat room yet?
Yeah, I thought I just did. I didn't have any problems. Yeah, I didn't have any problems getting on. Guys, hold tight, and we're going to see what's taking our guests so long. Hold on for me, please.
If you all have any comments or questions for Beauty Talk, please don't hesitate to call in 914-803-4399. Okay, looks like quite a few people are having a hard time logging in until the into the chat room. If you can't log into the chat room, feel free to join us on the phone line, 914-803-4399. It's 914-803-4399.
Okay, everyone, I apologize for the long pause and the long wait, but our guest will be calling in. There was a misunderstanding. So she will be calling in within the next 5 or 6 minutes. So if you guys could just hold tight, I would greatly appreciate it. Again, our guest tonight is Hadiya Barbel, and she'll be calling in about 5 or 6 minutes. So hang in there with us if you can. Again, the call-in number is 914-803-4399, and our guest is known for her Hadiya Barbel collection. She's also an Emmy award-winning celebrity hairstylist. She's been doing this for quite a while, and I can't wait for her to get on the line so that she can just tell us all about it. So if you have questions, please call in. If you want to make comments, please call in or join us in the chat room for those of you who can get in the chat room. And again, I am in the chat room, and I see Keisha White in the chat room. Thank you for joining us, Keisha. And thank you for those who are on the phone line who's joined us. Thank you for calling in to listen to the show. Can you tell us, Denise, a little bit about, you said Carpa Singh was supposed to join us in the beauty news segment. Can you tell us a little bit about what she was going to talk about?
Again, she was supposed to talk about her special effects class that she's having here in Atlanta. I don't have the date on it just yet. I would have to probably go to Facebook to see if I can find that.
Okay.
But it is a special effects class that she's teaching here in Atlanta.
And she didn't give you any details as to.
It's on Facebook. Yeah, I don't
say that again.
It's on Facebook. I don't have it in front of me.
Okay. And again, for those of you who are just joining me, again, our guest will be calling in about 5 or 6 minutes. She got mixed up with her information, so she's a little late in calling in, but she will be calling in a few minutes. So if you could just hang with us, that would be great.
Let's see. Carpacene, for those of you who are Face Off fans, Carpacene was on last season's Face Off,
mm-hmm.
and she will be teaching a class here in Atlanta on April 27th. I had a flyer somewhere that gave all the details as far as location and all that, but I do know now the date is going to be April 27th. So it's almost a month away. And if I can get to Facebook and get the details, I can share that with you all.
Are we giving away tickets to FAME Expo tonight?
Sure, we'd love to give away tickets. Would love to. Anyone who's interested in attending FAME Expo in Pasadena, call into the show, and we can give you one free one-day pass to the expo.
Okay, let's do that right now. Anybody interested in FAME Expo tickets for June 29th and 30th, we're going to give away a free one-day pass, so you can attend either day with that pass. If you'd like to win that right now, just call us right now at 914-803-4399 while we're waiting for our guest. She'll be calling in within a few minutes. JK, you don't want tickets? Hold on here. Let's see. Hi, JK.
Hi, what's going on?
You want tickets to FAME Expo?
Yes, but I was going to try to let somebody else get it because I said, oh, I can just call and ask the tickets later. But see, I was going to try to let somebody else hit the button and get the tickets.
Hey,
we
have more than one ticket, so if somebody else wants to call in tonight, if you want to call in tonight, like right now, we can give away another ticket. That's
see,
quite all right.
I was trying to let somebody else get it, but they don't want to get it. I will. But yeah, it's good. Y'all have more. Wonderful. Of course, I'll take it. You know I will. What's going on?
Nothing too much. We're just waiting for our guest to call in. I just spoke with her. She'll be calling in a few seconds.
Okay. Gotcha.
You said you'll take it, huh?
I'll take my ticket. Once you said June 29th, 30th, hopefully I can, schedule that. It's hard to schedule stuff when you're freelancing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like buying tickets to concerts. It's hard to do that.
Well,
you'll be working.
Right, exactly.
But the only thing you have to do is
then you just go and don't worry about work. But who's going to not worry about work?
Exactly. Especially when you have house notes and car notes and children to take care of.
Boy, oh boy, the concerns of a freelancer. I guess we could talk all day about that.
Exactly. Yeah, I can't. I want to see Beyonce, but I waited. Now the tickets are sold out here in multiple other cities. So now I don't know if I'm going to get to see her. But because I just was like, I don't know if I can book that ticket, buy that ticket, and then mess around and miss a gig. So, I don't know. I'm going to try to see Miss Tamar. She's coming. I'll be in Nashville. I think we got the next, and I know she'll be in Nashville.
Oh, nice.
See, try to see her. It is a difficult life. I want to hear about the class, though. Somebody went to that class, went to Marietta.
Oh,
yeah, went to her class. Yeah, somebody had to have gone to her class. I wish they would speak up and not be shy. I'd love to hear what happened.
I would love to hear. It's got to be somebody online or listening via the internet or something. Someone had to have gone to that class.
Right. I don't understand why. I have a hard time getting on your
the chat room?
On my Mac. On my Mac, getting on the chat room on my Mac, yeah. I always have a hard time getting on it. And then when I get on it, I can only comment one time, and then I have to log out and comment and go back in if I want to make a second comment.
So, but you don't have any problems on your PC?
Yeah, no, I don't have any problems on my PC, but you know my PC is old. Don't talk about it, Denise. Don't say anything. She always talks about my old computer. So,
well,
it takes a minute to get there on that PC. I'm working on it. I don't understand the problem. It takes a minute. So I'm trying to get on there. I'm trying. Hi, everybody in the chat room.
Again, you guys who are listening, our guest will be joining us in a matter of minutes. So we thank you for holding on the line to tune into the show. Again, our guest tonight is Hadiya Barbo, and she'll be joining us in a few minutes. So if you have questions or comments, please dial 914-803-4399. Don't be shy. Call in with the comments and your questions. That's what we're here for.
Because I can't get on the line and see who's on the line. Do we have someone with the 727 area code?
That's 7. What is it?
727?
No.
Okay.
There's a 267 and a 708.
No, it's okay.
Oh, okay.
267 is silly.
Right.
Maybe they already have tickets.
Oh, for Fame Expo? Or maybe they just can't go. Maybe they can't go.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, it is on the West Coast now, so it's not like you can just jump up and get in the car and run over to Fame Expo.
I'm going to run over to Pasadena today for a few hours and go
I'm going to run to California for a few hours and go to Fame Expo.
Right.
That just doesn't happen all the time.
Right.
So those of you who can join us in June and would like to, we're trying to give away tickets. So,
well, if you know someone that's in the L.A. area, call them, mention it to them, send them a text, send them an email, hit them up on social networking on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or something, and just let them know. Let them know that we're giving away a one-day pass for the expo. And all they have to do is call 914-803-4399. As simple as that.
Right.
That works.
Mm-hmm. So, Vicky, have you taken any classes lately?
No. Mm-mm. No, I haven't. Sometimes I wouldn't mind, but I just haven't gotten around to it. I found a class in London I wanted to take, but who knows when I would make it there. And I don't remember the name of the school.
Please look out for a 727 number, possibly maybe Papa Singh calling in to talk about her class.
767, okay.
Uh, Yeah, I saved that class, but I don't remember where it was.
What type of class?
I just remember it was a class in London.
No, I mean, what kind of makeup class?
It was basic beauty. Probably something I don't need, but, you know, just to take a class.
Right.
And it was in London, so I was like, you know, I would do that if I could make it there. But I don't remember when the time was and how long it was.
Do you think it's beneficial, JK, to be exposed to makeup artists and makeup styles from other places besides the U.S.? Do you think that's beneficial to you?
I do, absolutely.
You're talking about London. Okay.
I think it's beneficial to be around other makeup artists regardless of whom they are, where they come from, only because sometimes something inspires you to do something different. You hear something that you hadn't thought of. Somebody gives you sales something business-wise that you hadn't done that maybe you could do.
Right.
And from other countries, let alone we know how people from America view makeup artists from other countries. So
mm-hmm.
if you go get experience in another country, then it just brings you back with this, you know, kind of like one more notch in your belt that, hey, you studied in London, you studied somewhere else, if you can afford to do it. You know, if you can't afford to do it, of course, take classes in your area, in your state, in your region. But if you can afford to go abroad or go somewhere else and learn more, and who knows what you would pick up or the type of people you would gain access to. And it's and you don't know 5 years, 10 years, what person you go to a class with is going to be the department head or something.
Right.
It happens all the time.
One thing that I've noticed, JK, is like, especially speaking of London, one thing I noticed about artists over in London, when you especially see some of their magazines, they are not afraid of color. Like, they
mm-hmm.
will use color, but it looks like it's effortless. Like, they don't try to, you know, to be so different and to do such different things with color. They just use color. But a lot of the makeup
mm-hmm.
artists here, when we use color, it's like, you know, it's so intentional. Like, it's like we're trying to do this. We're trying to be different. You know, it's like we do all this color blocking with color on the eyes, and it's like it's so, you know, it's like you can tell so much effort and thought was put into it, whereas there, they just do it.
In an attempt to be different from everybody or to come up
with
the next crazy shape, and you use purple with orange, and you made it work. It doesn't matter. When do we on movie sets, television shows, ever use all those colors? Never.
Right.
And what we do, remember, Denise, when we did that TV show for BET, and you told me that I had to make one girl ghetto, and I was like, oh. I was so excited because I was like, okay, so I can put some crazy colors on her, and I can do a black line around her lip and make it look really crazy ghetto. I was excited because we don't get to do that type of stuff.
Right.
I mean, most people just are pretty. Who wants their makeup to be done crazy? Whoever needs 10 shades of eyeshadow, I don't care how wonderfully you can draw them. That's only for Instagram. that's all I see it for. And I look at it on Instagram, and I'm like, okay. Some of it I'm like, okay, that's cool. Oh, that's a little crazy. But, yeah, they do it with so much effort and purpose, and, oh, my God, I just got to try to come up with the next big thing, the next most wonderful thing. Whereas I agree with you, people from other countries use color, and they make it work.
Right.
Absolutely.
Without
the degree of thought. And you can tell that the people that do all of this color are the ones who have books and they're always drawing, or like when I walk in the Mac, they are always doing the darn face chart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many face charts you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
I never do a face chart. For what? I understand people do face charts. I get that, and I get that it helps some people. But I'm practicing on my next big thing that I'm going to do, and I'm working on it on the face chart so that then when I finish, I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to post it on Instagram and Twitter, I guess. Y'all know.
Well, let me jump in really quickly because I think we have Carpa Singh on the line, and she can share the information about her class.
Hi,
Carpa Singh. How are you?
Good. Hello, everyone. Good. How's everyone doing tonight?
We are fine. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Just want to say good evening to everyone and tell you all a little bit about my special effects makeup workshop that I'm mm-hmm. having. The date is going to be April 27th, mm-hmm. and this is going to be an eight-hour workshop, so the hours are going to be from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The location is actually going to be the Hawthorne Suites at Wyndham, and it's here in Atlanta. And then basically what I'm going to go over in the workshop is all the basics of special effects makeup, starting with, you know, some basics in makeup theory as it applies to special effects makeup, as well as anatomy, some old age, stippling techniques, some bruising, injury techniques as well, painting techniques, and also prosthetic application and some movie effects as well. I do have a lunch will be provided during the workshop, and then each attendee will also receive a full makeup brush set as well as a full special effects makeup kit that's going to have pretty much all the basics that you would need to do and execute all of the techniques that I just described.
Now, Carpa Singh, tell me this.
Yes.
You said
class.
April 27th. Is that a Saturday?
That's a Saturday, yes.
Saturday, okay.
And how much is the class going
to
be?
The class is, it's $299, but I'm doing an early bird special, and if attendees register before March 30th, they can get it for $275.
Oh, okay, cool.
Before March 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and how many... is there a limit to how many people can attend this class?
Yeah, it's going to be 12 because I want the class to be a little more intimate. That way, you know, everyone can get as much help as they need and can get any questions that they have answered.
Okay. So you're limited to 12 people, April 27th, which is a Saturday. It's an eight-hour class, so be prepared to stay there all
yeah,
day.
Yeah, definitely, and be prepared to, you know, do hands-on, and it's going to be a hands-on class, so... you know, every attendee will learn a lot of different techniques. We'll go over it and practice it, and I can answer questions and, you know, demonstrate more techniques if I need to.
Right. Right. Sounds
that's
good.
That's a great price for that class.
Thank you.
And do me a favor, one more time, say
yes.
All of the things that you're going to go over in that class again.
Okay, starting with makeup theory.
Okay.
And these are basically, like, main categories, and then I'll, you know, break it down. Once they register, they'll actually receive an actual outline that'll have more in detail of every single technique that I'm going to go over. But anatomy, aging, bruising, injury techniques, prosthetic application and painting techniques for the prosthetics, and also movie effects as well. And then I do have a website. If I can do that address.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's the letter C, makeup, FX, workshop.eventbrite.com. And if you go to that link, there's more detailed information about everything as far as the location, time, a write-up about all of the benefits that are included in the class and everything that anyone that signs up for the class will receive all of these items. So it's a lot more information there, some more pics of my work and a little bit more information on me as well.
Okay, so that's C, makeup effects workshop dot eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E, .com.
Correct.
Okay. Cool. We'll make sure that we post this also on our Beauty Talk Facebook page as well. So there's the information.
Okay, awesome.
Possible.
Cool.
Thank you so much. April 27th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. $299 if you register late, but the early registration is $275 before March 30th. Let me ask you, is there a date when you stop having people register, or they can register all the way up to the last
Day? Right now I'm looking up to about April 20th. That way it gives me enough time to know exactly how many people are going to be there, and so I can make sure I, you know, plan accordingly and have everything that I need.
Okay. And then you said the Hawthorne Suites at the Wyndham?
Yeah, the Hawthorne Suites, correct.
Okay. At the Wyndham. Okay. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, do you think, because, you know, listening to everything that you're saying that you're going to teach in this class, do you think that this, what you're covering, is considered the very basics that, that every makeup artist, particularly that's working in film and television, should know as far as effects go?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. Everything short of actually making them, creating them and all of that, because it goes into, you need to have a certain type of facility and all of that, you know, just to make sure everything is safe. But this is everything up until that.
Okay. Okay. All right. So for those of you who are working in film and television, you know, all of us, even though we may love beauty and focus on beauty, but we all should know the basics of effects. And so her workshop is going to cover the basics. So again, Saturday, April 27th in Atlanta. For those of you who are in Atlanta or can get to Atlanta, make sure you register before March 30th if you want to pay $275. And then you have to up until April 20th to pay $299. The class is limited to 12 people. So hurry up. Hurry up. I'm glad it's a Saturday. I might try to register myself.
Come on.
Come
on. It's going to be a lot of fun, though. We're going to cover a lot of stuff. It's going to be very hands-on, which is the way I prefer to do it, because I want to make sure that, you know, people walk away actually learning something versus just watching me do a demo, you know, for a couple hours and, you know, trying to take notes or something. So.
Right, right. Well, great. It sounds good. So we will make sure, again, that we keep spreading the word for you and get it out there. And hopefully we will see you on April 27th.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay, tonight's guest, Ms. Hadiya Barlow, she's on the line, and we're going to bring her in right now. Hi, Hadiya.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How is everyone?
Great. We want to jump right in on the conversation. So for those of you who are listening or just tuning in, the call-in number is 914-803-4399. So if you have questions or want to make comments, please do so. We welcome that. We just want you to start by telling us how you got your start as a hairstylist and what inspired you to do so.
Oh, okay. So, well, I basically, it seems like I was doing this as a very, very little girl. And, I actually was going to study, I was in school for fashion design.
Oh, okay.
And instead of doing fashion design, I realized that I paid so much more attention to my fashion art with the hairstyles, and my teachers would tell me that I should really consider just doing hair. And mm-hmm. I would do all the teachers in school as a teenager for their big events. I would actually style all their hair, and I just started doing that from there, promoting myself and doing my own and everyone else's. But what really happened is I always wanted to work in salons that that were well known, so that mm-hmm. I can be around masters. I never wanted to be anywhere where I was the best person. I always had to be around the masters so that I can grow. And, I mean, I don't know how far you want me to go back, because you can go on and on about this. So, you know, because it's so much, you know. It's like, you know, I started off working in salons, and then after a while, as I grew, I knew that I wanted to do so much more. salons was great to be a part of a team. It was always really, I really needed to do that. But what inspired me was when I would see so many different magazines and different hairstyles and hairstylists that would be in like magazines, and yeah, I would just look forward to each issue every month, and I would say, yeah, I'm going to do that too, you know. And one of my favorite magazines that I would see was Essence, and at that time it was like, you know, for African American hairstylists, and they would just be like some of the top people in there that I admired at the time when I was younger, and I knew that's what I wanted to do, you know. It was something where my work would be seen on a bigger scale and not just locally, which is nothing wrong with that. You know, working in a salon, that's great. Also, you know, having that connection with people was wonderful, but I wanted to reach the masses. So that was pretty much my start.
You are a salon owner, correct?
I actually transitioned from that.
Okay.
You know, I did that for a while. I did the freelance and worked in fashion for a while, and owned the salon. And then I actually started working on TV.
Gotcha.
And I did TV work for a while. And then I realized that I needed to brand myself. So now I'm actually a boutique owner where I sell my collection of hair pieces. And so so that's the way it's gone to. You know, I've been a celebrity stylist and an Emmy winning stylist, and I've done a lot of that work. But now it's now I'm the creative director, and I train and I teach, and so it's not a salon, but the services are offered. It's more of a, I would say it's a retail design center.
Gotcha. Let's go back a little bit. So at what point did you say, I want to open a salon? Not your new retail design center, but just a hair salon.
A regular salon?
Mm-hmm.
I went from working in a salon, then to renting a chair.
Okay.
And then from renting a chair, my business was growing so much that I kind of had no choice. I had to have my own space so that it could be completely my vision, and so that my business can grow more. So it was kind of like the destiny, because I had no choice to do that, because you could only take over someone else's salon for so much before they say, well, you know, you're taking up too much space. So if they tell you you're taking up too much space, that means you got to go. That means you got to work, you know, run your own place. And that's when I did that. You want to know when?
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay. I actually had two. And one was very small, is when I finally branched off from working in the salon that I loved for so long, but I needed to grow. So I had a little studio. So it wasn't really, it was kind of a salon, but like a little cute little studio, very small. Maybe I had like two other stylists with me. And I did that for like 1 year. And then I realized that I wasn't quite ready to own my own yet. It wasn't like a salon. It was like a little studio place that I changed into, you know, because at that time I was doing so many extensions and weaves, so you didn't really have to have a full-blown salon.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I did that for like a year, and I was actually about 23 at the time when I did that.
Oh, wow.
I was 23, and I did it for a year, and then I realized that I wasn't quite ready, and I wanted to be exposed to so much more. And I did that in Brooklyn, and so I decided that I wanted to be around other stylists and learn a little bit more. So I went to work in Soho. I did that. I rented a chair at a salon. It was a multicultural salon, and that meant a lot to me because I wanted to cater to many different types of people. And so I did that for maybe 2.5, 3 years. About 3 years. And, you know, I was taking up her space too much again.
Right.
So it always happens. It always goes back to the same thing. I'm always trying to avoid it. And so at that point, I opened a place called the Glamour Suite. And I did that for 5 years. And I get bored really quickly, though, but I did that for 5 years, and it was wonderful because now that was a salon, and there were so many things happening there, and celebrities were coming at photo shoots, and, you know, I had a great staff, and I rented chairs to other hairstylists, so it was great. It was a really wonderful movement. But again, I had the urge to grow and to mm-hmm. be free of the responsibilities of owning a salon because, you know, it's wonderful that it's your own, but you have to also be prepared for the for not just the creative side, the business side as well.
Right. Let me ask you this. You mentioned that you did television. Did you own the salon, the Glamour Suite, when you started working in television?
Yes, I did.
So let me ask you, how did you handle or how did you balance your television work and having to be away from the salon and maintaining your clientele, even though you were sometimes going off doing television work? How did you balance the both?
I mean, you have to have a great team. You know, I mean, it comes to the point where you're only one person. And mm-hmm. I think that's a big question for many people. And it's mm-hmm. a big challenge. A lot of people don't learn. They don't really understand how it goes. So basically, this is how it goes. And I had to learn. I have learned this now. So that's why I don't really, I only work with a certain clientele right now, more mm-hmm. so the people who have illnesses. So mm-hmm. I focus on that. I become like the doctor in that area. But everyone else does the rest of the work. So you have to not only train your clientele, but you have to make sure that you train your team.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have a team because a lot of people don't realize this, but you cannot do everything yourself. Like, you're only one person. You can't be in two places at the same time. So you have to know that you can trust the people that you have working for you to maintain the clients that you cannot see. And mm-hmm. and you still have to be able to maintain at least some of them, you know.
Right.
And if you can't maintain them all, then you have to have someone who's very, very, very good. It's always a tricky situation, though, I must say.
Right.
It's always a tricky, no matter which way you put it, no matter how much you try to balance it, at some point one will call you more than the other.
Right.
No matter
right.
which way you go about it. And me, I have clients that came to me when I was a young girl, when I was
mm-hmm.
A teenager. I have people who would still pop up in my life right now. I have people who've been coming to me since my first little studio in Brooklyn at age 23, which is over 10 years. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, but that doesn't mean that they're the people who are there every week with me. You know, I'm just there when they need that new change and that new look. I am the person that they always know they can come to. I may not be the person that they can see on a regular basis. And that's where your team comes in. And you
right.
have to train, you have to, you know, train your clientele because, you know, Vida Afrifoon didn't do everyone. You know,
right.
So you have to be able to brand yourself. But he also had a standard of work that everyone had to follow. So when someone says that's a Vida Afrifoon cut, doesn't mean that he did it. That means that's his standard. It's classic. It's something that he's known by. And so I think for a lot of hairstylists and salon owners, you have to figure out what is your thing. You know,
mm-hmm.
this color, everyone does color this way. It's not that anybody gets to work however they feel like working. If they want to be a part of your team, then, you know, there's a program, there's structure, there's a way that it's done, there's a signature look, and everyone has to follow that. Otherwise, they shouldn't be a part of the team because then you're at least the clientele that's used to you, they still understand that there is a format to things and that it will be followed whether you're there or not. That,
right.
That's what makes the difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, have you noticed any major changes in the hair industry since you first began and then now?
Since I started, it's definitely a major change. A lot of people, it's a financial change that I've noticed. There's
mm-hmm.
a big gap, you know. It's a kind of like, you know, it's a big gap. Between the people who have the money or some people just don't. You know, before you had a lot, it's like kind of like having, you know, the different classes. you know, you have your middle class, like that middle class has decreased a lot because, you know, you come into a place all over the world where the recession is still not really over. I mean, economic times are tough. So people are finding ways to do things on their own. That's what I noticed. There's a lot of things that's being done. It's not, the need for a hairstylist has decreased a lot. And a lot of people finding ways to do things themselves. So then it's always about coming up with something that makes people want to always come to you, and they have to. They have no choice.
Right.
Yeah, there has to be that they have no choice. Like there's something that only you can offer. That no matter how much you try to do it at home, it's only you can offer this. And that could be anything. It could be anything. And so I guess people need to figure out what is that thing that they have that people just have to have, that people just have to have in their life. And it could be from how you treat someone. You know, it could just be a lot of different things that may not even be just the hair.
Right. Absolutely. That's so
true. You might
true.
Offer something so much more than hair, you know, or you might just offer that particular style that they didn't know in that secret, that product, that way, that cut, you know. So
right.
And sometimes you have to really kind of just really focus on what your strengths are, what is your strong points, and then just make that happen, make that everything.
What do you think makes a great hairstylist?
What do I think makes a great hairstylist?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great hairstylist is not only the ability to perform well. And do amazing designs on someone and how many clients you have and so forth and so forth. I think it's the ability to handle when something goes wrong.
Right.
The ability to troubleshoot. You know, I think that is what makes a great hairstylist, because a great hairstylist is you know, we could talk about the aesthetics of it, but a great hairstylist is just because you're wonderful doesn't mean that everyone is going to think that you're wonderful. And doesn't mean that you're not going to run into a tough situation. And when you do run into a tough situation, you have to really know, you have to know how to deal with it. And a lot of people just know how to be amazing, but they don't really know how to, you know, in their work, but they don't really know how to handle problems with people, or fixing an issue, or fixing something that was done wrong, or may have not been done to the person's liking. You have to know what to do and think quick too, think fast, and know how to just fix something. That to me, a great hairstylist is a leader.
Right.
And it's a leader, and the examples are followed by their team. That's a great hairstylist to me.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned that you're an Emmy Award-winning hairstylist. Tell us a little bit about that and how all of that came about.
I was called one day to design the look for Wendy Williams.
Mm-hmm.
She called me on my cell phone, and she told me, I mean, I've worked with her many times before. I met her once on a photo shoot for Source magazine, and that magazine was out. I knew that, you know, I took the opportunity, and I said, okay, I'm going to make this my client. You know, there's a way to do that. We can talk about that after, you know, seizing opportunities, you know what I mean? And, and we could talk about how I did that. But she called me, and she asked me to design her look she wanted me to be in charge of her look from her neck up. And so I guess that meant I had to figure out who was going to do her makeup, who was going to be a part of it. Like, I pulled in all my people, you know, and so that we can create her TV look. And it's before she had a show. It was a very new thing for her. And the first season, I got nominated, you know. The second season, I got nominated again and won. And her show wasn't even out that long. But what I did with that is I just made sure I just put all of my efforts in there, you know, and I wanted to do something that was different, something that no one else was doing. And I wanted to make her look a way that no one else seen her. No, I wanted to bring out a certain part of her beauty that people never saw. And I also wanted to constantly create change. to that main, that tip, because I knew she had a new show. So I kind of do things. I wanted to do something that how I would like it to be done for myself, as if it was my own company, you know, as if it was me on TV. So because it was pretty much me on TV because it was my work. And so my idea was to keep people interested,
mm-hmm.
because I knew that and people are always interested in someone's look. That's what people are most attracted to, is the image of a person and their looks. And so what I did is that I just wanted to keep them guessing. So I created different looks for her every single month. Oh, we're going dark now. Now we're going short. And now we're going to have bangs. And now we're going to go curly. Now we're just going to shock them with this and that. So I created art. I created artistic expression. That's what I did with her. And I guess it was noticed. And I won an Emmy. But after I won an Emmy, I decided to leave because it took a lot out of me to do that, to dedicate all my time into one area of my life. Mm-hmm. And I knew that that's not, you have to kind of direct where you want your career to go. You could be known as, you know, that person's hairstylist or that celebrity's hairstylist, or you can become your own brand. And I decided that it was time for me to become my own brand. And, and that's where I'm at now.
So can you talk a little bit about that, becoming your own brand?
Becoming your own brand is you become the face of your brand. And so, you know, a lot of hairstylists may have a great skill, but mm-hmm. yet they promote everyone else's products. Or mm-hmm. they have a great talent and they have something special. But usually they use it on maybe, let's say, a project, or maybe use it for photo shoots, or maybe use a gift just for celebrities, or whatever they decide to do, doing TV work. But they have such amazing talent that talent should be able to be mass produced, because that's the only way. If you can't clone yourself, you know, in, so to speak, then you're constantly going to be, kind of chasing after the next thing, the next gig, right. the next dollar. And that's not, and that's the old way. And I've watched people do that. I've watched my elders do that. And I watched them get tired and burnt out and still behind the chair, you know, when they should be retired. So there's other ways to go about it and still do what you love. But yet it could be a product, or it could be that you are known for these amazing, you have this amazing skill, and now you become a teacher, and people mm-hmm. just have to take your classes from all over the world. So there's it's just a broader way of thinking, you know, and to offer something where you're not, where you become like a household name, one, and two, where you're not, where you're working smarter. And that's where the branding comes in at. You know, it's that thing that people need and that you are known for. And it could be a brush. It could be special products that you make, and you just have to have these products, or, you know, that special haircut. And people want to learn it from you. So, you know, you teach them all over the world. It's always a waste of brand.
Talk
but if you're,
a
always,
little bit of...
if you're always doing it for someone else, then you're never going to get that opportunity.
Oh, yeah, true. Absolutely true. Tell us a little bit about your collection of wigs.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Tell us a little bit about your collection of crowns.
Ah, okay, yeah, that sounds better. I love how that just went right there. That's awesome.
Uh-huh.
okay, yes, exactly. Okay, let's talk about the wig versus the crown.
Right.
Since we went there already, let's go there, because, I mean, people are really catching on. You know, I had
right.
The New York Times did a wonderful article on me, and that really changed my life. It really did. It changed everything around. They were just very interested in this. And, you know, they titled the article, "Her Crown Upon Your Head."
Hmm.
And so they gave, you know, the recognition of why is it a crown and why is it not a wig? Okay, because a wig is something that you buy in the store. It's mass produced in a way, and it's just kind of generic, cookie cutter, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say a wig is out the box, and a crown is couture. Why is the crown couture? Because the crown is it's custom made for the person and custom design. It could be the same one that you took out the box, but with the crown, it's fitting for you. So then it's fitting for the queen that you are. And because when you do wear the crown, it's just what you want, and it's so beautifully done, you do, your whole energy shifts. And now you feel like the queen that you are. And so when we use the word wig, to me, it's like, that's so old. You know, a wig is like inferior. And when people say, oh, she's wearing a wig, it's like they kind of turn their nose up at that, you know. Mm-hmm. But when you think about a crown, it's like, you know, the head is held high. Yes, I'm wearing my crown of glory. You know, is you know, we've talked about what is the crown, you know, all throughout our years. You know, our head is the crown, is our crown of glory, you know. And so so I use that crown because I also had to work with them. I work still. We cater to many women with alopecia who are going through chemotherapy and who are facing so many different types of hair loss. That's like, I would say like 40% of from our clientele. Mm-hmm. And these women don't want to have to think that they have to wear a wig. They don't even like that. They never asked for that. They didn't ask for any additional hair. But now they're faced with challenges and they're faced with losses. And so the last thing you want to do is say, it's called that a wig, and to remind them that they even have to go through that. So right. When you give someone, so when you tell them that, no, we're doing a crown, they feel empowered by that. You know, they feel amazing because now they have a new perspective. They could look at it as, this is not the end, but a new beginning. Mm-hmm. Because now I need to connect to that goddess within. So I'm always about the goddess movement. That's just me. You know, that's something I bring along with everything that I do, is for women to feel like they are queen goddesses. Because you don't really, that's not promoted as much. And it should be, you know. And so what we do is we have it's just specially designed. You know, I came from cutting hair, from just doing regular hair and being a hairstylist, but I was always an artist. So a crown has art to it, and art meaning the way it's shaped and the color blends and the way it falls, and it's chic. It's luxury, you know. And so now even with the luxury, we're creating a line that's even affordable luxury. So that everyone can be queens with the crowns on, not only only people with a lot of money, you know. So we're gonna promote it. We want to be universal with it. But that is the crown. And you know, it's interesting because there was a time where wigs were not, it was never looked at in a strange way. You know, as I did my research, the ancient Egyptians wore wigs, and they wore them. You can look this up. I mean, they wore them for so many different purposes. Like, it represented status. And a lot of times they may have used it to protect their shaven heads from the sun, or it was used as a part of their garments. It was also used in ceremonial practices. But it was commonly used. Like, this is what, it was the thing to do. And it was like a very regal thing to do. And so when I think about the ancient Egyptians, my ancestors, I'm like, why would I call it a wig? They, you know, look at it. They had jewels in it and everything. This is a crown. And they stood high with that. And even when we go back to the Supremes, and you go to like Sheer, I would say like the 60s, sometimes even the 70s, these women wore them. And it was a part of fashion. It was representing femininity, you know, and mm-hmm. style. It was fabulous. It was just it was just a part of fashion. Even some men wore them, you know. You know, they're like, you know, George Washington. They wore those wigs. I'm saying everybody wore them. That's what I mean. It represented a certain person's status. It was more. It's not just like, okay, black women don't love themselves, so they're wearing wigs. No. I mean, I have people come to me with full heads of beautiful hair, and mm-hmm. they want to be able to change their look. There's women who come with locks down to their butt, And they were like, Hazia, is there a way that we can get this underneath one of those big curly ones? Because I got an event to go to and I want to look a little different. But does she want to cut off her locks? No. So why should she be judged? Because she wants to just change her look and have fun. So that's why I promote, I'm always promoting the goddess in whichever form or whatever it is to make you feel fabulous, I say go for it.
Why do you think that there's always an issue with why people judge when people wear wigs or they want to wear weaves? Why do you think that's such a big issue?
Because they're haters. It's simple as that. I'm serious. I'm really serious. You know, when I say haters, I'm not just saying they're hating on the person, they're hating themselves. You see, because, you know, what happens is that people feel threatened in some way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that sometimes they want to do it too. But they somehow feel like they're selling out. You know, let me tell you how it goes. It goes a little deeper than this. You know, I love getting into these conversations, right? It goes a little deeper. It goes into, there was a time period, like I said, where this was celebrated. But then there was a time period where we had a black, I would say more a black woman, right? Because I work with every race. I mean, I would say it's a nice big, it might be 50-50 or maybe 60-40. Like most of my clients are Caucasian women, maybe 60% or 50%. Then we have, you know, the black women, all the other cultures in between. But what I'm going to say is that I noticed there's a major difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
With when it comes to this. I would say, like, white women, they don't really, it's a different view on it. They really just want to, they might be having thinning or, you know, issues with problems. It's problem related. More so, most of the time, it's because their hair was thinning or they had to undergo some sort of treatment and they lost their hair. It's not mostly because of just fashion. It's because they want restoration, okay? When it comes to African-American women, it is a little bit of that. It is a little bit of that. But mostly it is they just want to be a, we like to be able to change our looks all the time. You know, we might want to be one way one day, another one this day. And, you know, we like to be able to change our look. When they're weaving their hair, they may want, some girl might want her hair weaved down to her back. Or whatever. I mean, we have so much flavor, and we have so many different shades of our skin and textures of our hair, and I believe that this mentality with this this judgmental mentality comes from a point where we were doing, like, the black power thing, right? Power to the people, when people had to connect to their, when people wanted to connect to their roots. So I believe that this is where it came from, where you had to be proud, you had to be black and proud. And so when that black power movement came about, this is when things shifted. This is when the judgment came. Because now, like I said, there was a time period where, this, like I said, Supremes was wearing those. They were just, and no one looked at them like they were selling out. But it changed, like I said, when the black power movement came and the fifth went in the air and it said, okay, I'm representing the African in me right now. And I'm natural in this way. And so natural meaning whether it's natural, because we have so many different groups, you know. We have the natural girls, and then we have the perm girls, then we have the weave girls. And we, you know, it's just like it's so segregated amongst us as women. There's segregation, you know. And this is, I noticed this segregation amongst African women. But even though we have it, so I call those a lot of times the ones who are judging, I call them the hair Nazis, right? Or, or a lot of times it may be like the natural woman judging the perm woman or the perm woman thinking that the natural woman is not that fabulous. Like there's so many judgments, right? But the thing is that everybody wants to be able to change their looks no matter who you are and what state your hair is in. We all like to change. Because even if it is our natural hair that we're wearing, we may want to add a little color. We may want to add a little cut or a little something to it or add a little piece in it. Everybody wants. But see, because of the judgment is so high, it's kind of like this fear that comes with it also.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, what happens is that people start hating on each other for doing it. You know, I've had a woman come to me with locks and she goes, oh, boy, I made her a big, beautiful, curly, natural crown. And I made it something special to her, for her, that's made to fit over her locks. And I love doing stuff like that. You know what she says to me? She goes, oh, gosh, the natural Nazis are going to get me now. Like, I'm selling out. Like, she was afraid to wear it. And she loved it, but she was afraid to wear it. So it just makes me laugh. And I'm like, you know, I mean, them girls know they want to try it, too. Stop it. You know what I mean? So that's why me, I'm not in any box. Like, I'm very universal with everything. And my main thing, this is why I offer something more than just the look. It's always about bringing the sisterhood together for me. Because at the end of the day, there's one thing that binds us all with this, is the sisterhood. Is the way when we get together and we play with our hair, it's like an experience. It's like a reunion. You know, it's like a ladies' night out. It's so much. It's like a slumber party. And that's what people really need to connect to. You know, it's in our culture, when we get together and we do this thing and we on a Saturday and all that stuff, it's just wonderful. You know, you can't get that experience anywhere else. It's something that we call our own. So why have so much judgment with it? When that's really, I mean, do you. Like, everyone should just do it. Makes them happy and enjoy the sisterhood, because that's really what it is. And we are so beautiful. And we could be represented in so many different ways. There is no reason to have that judgment. Right. So that's. I mean, I know I went in with that. this is what I do. this is how I break it down, because I make people think. Because it's deep. It's deep.
Right. It's very deep. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a show all on its own.
Yeah, it is a show. You should do that one.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about your event for the Crowns
and Cocktails?
For the Cure.
Oh, Crowns for a Cure or Crowns and Cocktails? I had two.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about both.
All right. Well, let's talk about it. Okay, Crowns and Cocktails came first. And
okay.
Crowns and Cocktails is something that I decided to do. It's one of my sisterhood things that I love. Which is, and I love to see women come together and start playing with the hair and all that. I love it. And so a lot of people are afraid and they don't know where to start. And then, you know, if when you're working with a luxury brand like mine, maybe some people are intimidated by it. So what I decided to do is offer an event where there's no commitment, there's no obligation to anything, and just come and have some fun and play with some hair. And if you do decide that you want to purchase something, it will be at sample sale prices and discounted. It's a lot of times in half. So that same luxury item that you wanted will usually be half price at that time. And this is how I got my New York Times article, because someone told one of the journalists from the New York Times about my event, and they were just so amazed that there's actually a sample sale for hair. And that women really come after work like they would do at a designer sample sale, and get hair, and they would so that's how that happened, and so I did a few more, and then I decided to do one big one that was a lot more meaningful. It wasn't just about us having fun with the hair, but it had a purpose. And Crowns for the Cure was an event that I did where I donated part of the proceeds to Donna Karan's Urban Zen Foundation. Yeah, I donated part of the proceeds to Donna Karan's Urban Zen Foundation. And what I loved about her foundation is that, it's a lot of women suffering from the cancer. There's a lot of women suffering from the cancer. And not only do the women suffer, but their families suffer as well. And so what happens is that with Donna Karan's Urban Zen, she focuses more on, you know, Eastern medicine to really help people heal more on a spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
So she includes the Eastern medicine with the Western culture, and teaches doctors how to do those things. And I'm really about the connection of the mind, body, soul connection. I believe it's a complete journey, because it's not just me giving someone a crown to make them feel better. You know, if I could support an organization that is helping sufferers and their families in a much more deeper and spiritual way. I'm all for it, and so that I plan to grow more with that with Crowns for the Cure. Like I would like to do an event where, which is very similar, which will be Crowns for a Cure, but do something different this time. And I want some of my clientele who have the resources and who have the means. I want them to donate all of their old crowns that they're not using anymore, because these women have so many high end pieces that they just don't wear. I want them to be donated so that we can refurbish them, and then we could take those and bring them to one of the hospitals, and for especially for people who are undergoing treatment who do not have the means at all, where they don't have to spend any money, and we that's how we are able to do our part. And I have a team that we can work with them and refurbish them and make sure that they're fresh and everything is good and they're like new, and you know, offer them not just like something that they, you know, where they have to buy something from a store, but beautiful, high end, and these healing, I guess, I call it the healing arts, you know, you know, these pieces that, because it's going to make someone feel good, and someone can look in the mirror and feel good, it actually helps their healing internally. You know, a lot of times people suffer because part of their suffering is that they look in the mirror and they're like, who am I? Like they're going through all of that medicine, it changes their skin, it swells them up, and they're losing their hair. I mean, it's horrible, and it's horrible in the families too. So that's our next goal.
I have a question or a comment from someone on the phone line, so let me bring them in.
Okay.
Hello? Hello? Do you have a comment or a question? All right. Maybe not. Okay, Hadir, what inspires you?
What inspires me?
Mm-hmm.
Dance.
What's that?
Dance. Dance inspires me, you know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just movement. Movement inspires me. Movement inspires me. And also what inspires me is, you mean inspires me just to do my art?
Yeah.
Or just inspires me, period?
Both.
Okay, both. Mm-hmm. What inspires me is I like to travel, you know, and I really love South America. I really love Brazil. And when I go to Brazil, I go to, like, Bahia, which is more like Afro Brazil. And when I see this, I love texture, right? And when I see these women on the beaches of Salvador with these full head, these big, beautiful, wild, curly hair, you know, it's like this, it's like these Amazonian women, and they're just so, just free, and you know, I mean, I'm literally on the beaches sometime when I'm over there, and I'm like looking at them, and I just want to run up to these people and take pictures of them, but you know, I don't speak fluent Portuguese, so I don't want them to be scared of me. But they have such beautiful, like, you know, just the beautiful curls and beautiful, because there's so many mixtures in that culture, and but the way the shapes and just big and bouncy, and I really just love that. I love curly, textured, kinky, wild hair. Anything that looks like you was in the jungle. So then I go to the jungle a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I go literally out the country to this kind of stuff and be in nature, because I you know, I mean, I am like I'm like a hippie. I can't help it. No matter how much I try to get cleaned up with it and be all polished, I'm still kind of like bohemian chic. That's my thing, you know. And so I just love a lot of like natural elements. And natural elements along with the glamour, you know. So I like to infuse both of those things together. So I go to museums a lot. I look at art a lot, but I spend a lot of time in nature and around flowers and just all things naturally beautiful. That's really what inspires me. And fashion inspires me as well. But it's more like I guess for me, I'm like I like things kind of natural. And those things really inspire me. And there's something else that inspires me. The 70s, yes. The 70s inspires me. You know why the 70s inspires me? The 70s inspires me, I guess, because I'm a flower child, like I said. But more so because women really paid attention to their femininity. And what I mean by that is that if you look at the woman in the 70s, look at the hairstyle, look at the clothing, women and men, and look at the colors, and look at the style. I mean, it's just fabulous style, you know? I mean, if you look at any pictures, everyone is just confident and well put together, you know? I mean, they iron their clothing too, right? You don't really see that. You don't see that anymore. But, you know, like, you know, things were like, women took their time and, you know, and they were bold with their style and so sexy and, you know, so regal. You know, they put jewels in their hair and headbands around their foreheads and, you know, the hair was big or it was beautiful waves, but it's just like so just lovely and feminine. I can look at footage, even Foxy Brown footage, and you know, I can look at everything, all the feathers, the girls in the 70s, you know, Caucasian woman and white woman, and black woman, doesn't matter. I can look at all of it, and I'm inspired by everything. Like even, you know, Sarah. I have one of my styles called a Sarah. I love the way her hair was shaped and all the different layers in it, and that's the kind of look that I create. I don't like hair that's just hanging there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm all about the cut. I'm all about the shape. I'm all about shape, you know, and I see shapes in the art and in my travels and in the nature where I spend time. I'm looking at shapes and textures, and that's why I like it so much, because that really defines my brand, is shape and texture. And how do you create shape? How do you create texture? Through shape, you know, and so the foundation of any great style is a great cut. Now, you're talking about style. On style on its own, the foundation of any great style is a great cut. And a great cut, I don't care if the hair is down 24 inches down to your waistline or if it's 2 inches on your head. A great cut is foundation to everything, because then naturally you can create great style.
Nice. It's funny you said that, because my hairstylist friend Leah would agree with that totally, about the hair, the cut being the foundation.
It is. I mean, it absolutely is. You can't get it any other way. And that's why people are paying attention. Not
right.
It's not just when it's symmetrical, even and nicely done. It's when it really enhances the features of the person who's wearing it.
Mm-hmm.
That is what makes it amazing, really. And you look at someone, okay, she has great cheekbones, so let me shape this around her cheekbones so that you can really see them. Or she has beautiful eyes, so let me give her some bangs so you can really focus on her eyes. Or her forehead is really big, and I like big foreheads, so I like to expose them because it's like weird looking, and I like it. I like weird things. But the people who are wearing the forehead,
right,
they may not like it. It's like that. You know what I mean? And so, you know, so then what do we do about that? You know, so we give her beautiful heavy bangs, heavy sweat bangs, and something that frames her face and gives her balance and balances, you know, a feature that may, you know, be a little bit off, and we balance it. And so it's about balance and accentuating that person's beauty. And that's what a great cut is about. Because a great cut on you may be different than on me.
Right.
And your great cut can work, and you're like, and I'm going to say, okay, I'm going to cut my hair like that because you're rocking it. And then I cut my hair like that, and I'm like, no. I put my crown back on. You know what I mean? So it's about what's working for the person and what's giving her the proper balance for her and for her features, and what's bringing out the best features in her or him.
Absolutely. And our last question for tonight is, what is beauty to you?
Freedom.
I said our last question for tonight is, What is beauty to you?
Oh, okay. So, you know, that's an open question, right?
Right.
So, you know, I could say anything. I could say one word or like a thousand.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let me tell you what beauty. You said beauty?
Yes.
Beauty to me, and I'm going to say this is very, it's just one word. One word. That's all I could say is one word. Beauty to me is freedom. It's freedom. Why is there freedom? It's freedom because, you know, beauty to me is the person's expression of who they are and what makes them feel good. It's freedom. There is no bondage with it, and there is no judgment. It's called freedom. Freedom of expression. So that, to me, it may not be something, like someone might have something that I would never do, but I can see the beauty in it because it is their personal expression and it works for what they're feeling and how they want to present themselves to the world. So I'm so like non-biased with anything. I'm like, do you. So to me, everything about me represents freedom. So beauty is freedom to me.
Beauty is freedom. I love it. Love it.
Yeah, you know.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I know there was a little confusion, but I'm glad we were able to get you on tonight.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, you know, once it happens, I can't let you down, you know.
Right.
You know, I can't let you down. I can't have you. Can't leave me. I just can't do that, you know. So it's like, okay, it might have been that way, but at the end of the day, I'm here. You know, if I can contribute, whatever I can contribute, you know, so that someone hears and maybe get something from it, hopefully, then I'm happy.
Yeah. Well, we do appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us, and we would love to get you back on sometime, maybe later in the year, to maybe join one of our panel discussions.
I would love to.
We appreciate it. We're going to be following you and checking out what you're doing and what's new. And, of course, if you have anything that you want to share with the world, any news that you want to get out, please let us know. We'll make sure we share it here on the show or on our Facebook fan page as well.
Okay. You guys just give me, you know, I mean, I would like to promote it for you also.
Okay.
So, you know, if I have a little more, we communicate differently. And
yeah,
then I would like to say, okay, I'm going to be on this show this time and promote it to my followers. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That would be great. So we'll do that again. We'll do it that way.
Absolutely.
Again.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us, and have such a wonderful week this week and a great night tonight.
Oh, thank you so much for that blessing. I appreciate
all
that.
Right.
All right. Good night.
Good night. And for those of you who are listening and you enjoyed the show tonight, please go out and mark the show a favorite here on Blog Talk Radio. Leave us a comment on this page or on our Facebook fan page. And as always, join us back here next Sunday night at 9 p.m. It is Easter next Sunday, and we will be having a show. So join us next Sunday if you can. If not, you can always go back and listen to the shows that you missed. So check us out next week.
And also, for those people who would like tickets to Fame Expo, again, since you didn't hear this show and didn't call into this show tonight, you can always join us on our Beauty Talk Online Facebook page. And again, if you're interested in tickets to Fame Expo, June 29th and 30th in Pasadena, California, please be sure to list your name on, just, you know, post something to our page saying that, you heard about this on Beauty Talk and you're interested in getting a free ticket to the Fame Expo, a one-day pass to the Fame Expo. And we will call you. We will respond back to you and have you send us your information to our email address. But just go ahead and just post on our page first that you're interested, and we'll get back with you.
All right. With that being said, everyone have a great night.
Good night.